Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
There's a great story in the Gospel of Luke, and each gospel is a little bit different. Some of them will tell different stories or highlight different parts of the life and ministry of Jesus and the journey of the disciples and all. And Luke tells a story that takes place after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, but before many people know that Jesus is risen from the dead. So it's just only a couple, no. So it tells us about two men who are walking on the road. They're leaving Jerusalem, walking about 7 miles to a town called Emmaus. And so then Jesus shows up on their little walk. And that would be a good question to ask Jesus, how he just picked those two guys to visit. And but in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, you find this, and it says, "Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened," meaning the crucifixion of Jesus. "And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along them with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still." They stopped all of a sudden. Faces downcast because they were sad. They were discouraged because Jesus, whom they love, had died. So verse 18, "One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that happen here these days?'" Little sarcasm, little frustration. And we always think that other people may not have the knowledge that we do. But I think it's kind of funny that he's saying that to Jesus. And then Jesus says, "What things?" Just a little clue that if you feel like God is asking you a question, it's not so he can get more information. Because he's like, he knows it all. So he's usually asking you a question so that you can come up with an answer. So anyway, they're like, "All right, you're the only one that didn't know about this crucifixion?" So here he goes. He said, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet," pay attention to that, "powerful in the word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So I want you to see what happened in their sorrow. That they had a faith for yesterday. They said, "Don't you know about Jesus? He was a man of power. He was a prophet, mighty in his words and his actions. Wow, if only you could have been around." Stranger, Jesus. And so then they said, "And we had hoped one day he was going to be, you know, the one. He was the one, and now he's taken from us." And I think it's so much like human nature that it's really difficult and rare for us to be present in the moment. That often we have great faith for the past. "Oh, I believe the whole Bible. Wouldn't it have been great to live back there with all that happening? When Jesus said, 'It's better for you that I go away so the Holy Spirit can be with you,' then it can happen with you now, you know." But we're not thinking of that. Or, "Oh, wow, the church I used to go to, there was a revival back in the day, you know. We have great faith for yesterday." Or they had a view, and their view of tomorrow was hopeless. And maybe you've been through some heartbreak in relationship, in your marriage and your family and your friendships. Maybe you have had some tremendous financial problems. Many people in our world, in the economy, have been through bankruptcy and foreclosures and loss of jobs or business collapse. And those things are devastating to people. And you look at your future and you don't see it with hope or vision or significance. And so we find ourselves missing out on what's going on right now because we're looking back or looking forward. And so here these guys are talking. And so they're sad about Jesus, who is standing right there. next to them. And so I think that's how we are, that human nature. Sometimes we're in church. We come to church, and some people are singing songs about God, and other people are worshiping God, having an encounter with Jesus. But we might be thinking about what disappointment from yesterday, or concern about tomorrow, or we're focused on other things, and we miss the moment. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Jesus is right here, and we are not aware of it. And so then we come and we hear a message that's preached, and we think, well, you know, I've been to this church weeks or months, and I've heard lots of sermons, and it reaches a lot of people, and so I'm sitting here today and I'm hearing another sermon, and it'll probably inspire me. But we miss out on, maybe this is the word of the Lord for you today. But this is not about Philip. It's not about a sermon. It's not about a topic. It's about Jesus trying to get something through to you, that you have been coming for weeks or coming for months so that you could be here right now to hear this word. And we could be like the church on the way to Emmaus. We could be the church that misses out on the presence of God, that we lose sight of why we're serving, or who we're serving, or what we give, or how we give, and we're locked into everything but here. And here that guy, here they were. And Jesus is walking with them. And so it goes on to tell the story that in verse, we skip on down, start at 28, and it says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. I love that. Jesus is acting like he's planning to keep going, but his plan is to be with them. And so they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day's almost over. And so he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Oh, that Jesus. I wonder if they thought, if I would have known, I would have listened differently when he was talking to us. But they did say, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, say, I believe that. Yeah, he is, and he is here right now, Jesus. Let's don't go through these moments like the men on the road to Emmaus, but let's ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and open our ears to hear and to see. And I love it that Jesus said, it says that he acted like he was going to go on. He's like walking along, see you guys. And they're like, hey, would you stay? And he's like, oh, I never thought you'd ask. And sometimes it feels like in our life that Jesus is going to pass us by, that God has, that we've missed our opportunity, or, and it's not our need that moves God. Listen, our need already moved God. That's why he sent Jesus to live, to die, to be raised again, to impart life. Now it is our desire that moves God. It is our faith. It is our asking. Would you stay? Oh, yeah. I just wanted to be asked. And so don't miss out on the opportunity of God's presence because he's here. And what happened is that he disappeared. So these guys take off and they head back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, guess what? We've met Jesus. He's alive. And so they go and they start talking to the disciples, and then Jesus appears to them. And so he starts talking to them, and then this is what he says in Luke 24:49, near the end of the chapter. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Jesus has given him a vision. He said, I'm going to go away. And it's better that I go away, but so that I can send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come. And he said, the Father has promised the Holy Spirit to you. And he said, stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you. I think sometimes we find ourselves restless because we don't have clarity of what the Holy Spirit wants to show us and wants to do in us. We find ourselves moving and changing and going on. And he said, just wait here. Wait here in the city. And if I can just speak prophetically for a moment, I hope that many of you see that you are called to the city. That you were brought here by one circumstance or another, but that it was the Holy Spirit that brought you here. And he said, wait here in the city until the Holy Spirit gives you vision, gives you power, anoints you, because I have a purpose for you. I have something for you to do. I have an impact for you to make. And it's important that we live out this life in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not the first time that Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a little more mystical to our thinking than God the Father and God the Son. And so a lot of people don't know what the Holy Spirit's about, and then they've had some weird encounter with somebody who blamed their weirdness on the Holy Spirit. So you're like, yeah, I don't know if I'm into that. But the Holy Spirit is God. And the word translated that we say spirit, back in the day, they called him the Holy Ghost. I don't like ghosts too much. They kind of freak me out a little bit. So Holy Ghost, you know. And so that's an old English way of translating spirit. But the word is actually translated wind or breath. And so in the Old Testament, which is the Hebrew language, the word is ruach. You like how I did that? Gave a little at the end, like you got something, like you got popcorn kernels in your throat. Ruach. And there's somebody who probably speaks Hebrew that thinks, you're butchering this. And in the New Testament, it was in Greek, and so that's translated pneuma, which is where we might get the word of pneumonia or pneumatic. And so it talks about breeze or air or wind. And so the God, the Holy Spirit, he is invisible because he can be felt and he can be experienced, but he can't be seen. But a more accurate translation is that he's the holy breath of God. So he said, wait here till you receive this breath of God on your life. And he will equip you and empower you and guide you. And we look at John chapter 20. This also talks about a part of something that happens with the disciples before Jesus leaves. And in verse 21, it says, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That holy breath of God. He breathed on them. And he told them, wait till you receive this power, but I'm going to breathe on you right now and you'll receive a portion of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is significant and in our life. And what I want to talk to you about is so that we don't become like those men at Emmaus when we're saying, God, I need your provision. I need your help. I need you to help me to see what you want me to do. And we neglect the Holy Spirit. You know, some people, the Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. But we love them. And, you're probably one of them, like me. We're weird a little bit. So sometimes people do things and attribute it to the Holy Spirit. So we're like, eh. And sometimes we're secretly closed off to all that the Holy Spirit would bring to us because of a fear or, like, I don't know what's going on there with that person or that experience. We want to have all that God has for us. Jesus, when Thomas said, is it you? Let me see the scars in your hands and your side. And so he looked and felt them and he said, oh, it's you. And Jesus said, you believe because you see. Blessed are those who believe and don't see. And the Holy Spirit is the one that we can't see. You can't see wind. You can see the result of wind. You can see what it picks up and carries along the way. It can blow things from one place to another. It can cool temperature. It can do a lot of different things. And but we can't see it. But still, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we have to believe, we have to trust, we have to be open fully to Him. And that's my message to you today, to be open and to be fully available to the Holy Spirit. Now what we want to do is look in Acts chapter 2 that tells us about this thing that Jesus said. That he said, I'm going to pray, and what the Father has promised, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and this is what happened. So it says, Acts 2, 1. How are you doing out there?
Good.
You good? All right. Breathe every once in a while, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind. There's that connection. Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So first of all, the Holy Spirit filled the house. Then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came onto each of them. So it was like a fire, and that little flame would go around each person. And if you think about a flame, it could look like a tongue of some kind. And so that's the second thing that happened. Then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was the sound of heaven touching earth. And if Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit and told us that we need the Holy Spirit in our life, it's important that we embrace and receive all that God has for us. And it says in verse 12, further down after all this was going on, it says that amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? So what was happening is that this was Pentecost. So people, the Feast of Pentecost, people were coming from different areas, and thousands of people coming to Jerusalem. And so then the Holy Spirit was poured out in this place, and it kind of spilled out in the street. And everybody's hearing what's going on, watching. And so like, what is this? And it says, amazed and perplexed. And you know what I noticed? That's what happens to people all the time. We're either amazed at the Holy Spirit or perplexed. Which one do you want to be? I want to be amazed. I want to be astonished. Lord, shock me. Surprise me. Lord, use me. I'm open to what you have for my life. I don't want to do anything that's going to shut the door on you because of my limited thinking and my fears and my past experiences. So other people are like perplexed, like, I don't know if I know what I think about that or no. And, you know, every time the Holy Spirit moves, there's always something wonderful and awesome. And then there's this little part that's like, what? There's always a weird part. I don't know if that's people or that's it. But there's things that you just can't explain that the Holy Spirit's doing. And so it says the people were amazed and perplexed. Look at this. And they said, what does this mean? And some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. That these guys, they must have been acting a little weird, because they're like, these guys are drunk. Could you imagine going to a church service and they're like, well, these guys are drunk. And, you know, we always think that our level of intensity is the right appropriate level. And so when anybody else has a more passionate expression, then it's weird. Like, what's wrong with that guy? And so, when Jesus was making his entry into Jerusalem, the children were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna to Jesus. And they were like, you know, this bothers me. Why are you letting the kids do that? And he goes, oh, if the children didn't cry out, the rocks would cry out, you know. Like, they were bothered at the worship of God. And when I was in my 20s, I was at a church visiting, and it was a strong service. And during worship, I'm standing there, and this person next to me is worshiping loud and clapping and a little intense and a little emotional, and just like you could hear her for two or three rows. So I just look over every once in a while and just keep doing my thing. And I thought I was being very subtle, but when we finished the worship service, she said, turn and say hello to somebody. So she goes, I'm sorry that my praise and worship was a little distracting. And I was like, oh, no problem. Liar! Oh, yeah, but anyway, So I'm like, no, that's great. Because my level is the appropriate level. She's way over the top. And she goes, you know, my daughter was in a drowning accident and she's in a coma. So I'm just worshiping and praying for my daughter. So I'm like, oh, jeez. So it says, when Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. I love that that's in the Bible. These are followers of Jesus. So we don't drink like that till after 5 or 6. And it doesn't say that. I made that up strictly for your entertainment. So strike that from the record. All right. So it says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. And what I'm here to tell you today is that this word from heaven is a word for now. Don't think about this as a prophecy for the book of Acts or a prophecy that will one day come to pass, but this is a message of God to you right now. Hear the voice of God. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Yeah, people in America, people in California, people in Africa, wherever. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Yeah, for young people. God's going to use young people and children to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to lay hands on the sick, to do the miraculous, because they sometimes are more able or willing to believe than we are, because we're older. We're like, oh, I've seen it all. I've been around, you know. And so we're unconsciously not open to what God wants to do. And so he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. They're going to prophesy. There's going to be a mighty move of God. And what I'm saying to you is, I want to be available. I said, God, don't let me be like one of the pastors on the road to Emmaus. But help me to see what you're doing now. Because we're here in Los Angeles and there are thousands, hundreds of thousands within just a couple of miles from here who are desperate for God. There are friends and family and people praying and interceding, crying out to God for people that are within a couple of miles from here. Rescue my son. Touch my daughter. Heal my family. Something, God, do a miracle. And I believe that you and I are the potential of answer for that prayer. Yeah. But we won't be if we're unaware. We won't be if we're unavailable. So we have to say, oh, God, use me. You said you're going to pour out your spirit. Use me. You said men and women. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that good news? God wants to use men and women to make a difference, to lead, to prophesy, to serve. He wants to do the miraculous. And yet sometimes we have no vision. We don't see what God wants to do. And we're unavailable. And skipping on down, Peter preached this message and he's closing with in verse 38. And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, repent, that's turning from our way of living and serving Jesus, making our life about him. Repentance is turning from our way, one way, and changing our mind, our focus, our attention, another way. And then he said, be baptized. Every person who's made a commitment to Christ should follow that commitment in water baptism. And then he said, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened earlier. That's what Jesus was talking about. There are three important things in the foundation of our life. And so he said in verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord will call. So it's for us. Yeah. It's for our children. I believe that God wants to do something in us. I believe that God wants to do something in our church and in our city. And I'll tell you that last year, I started to pray, and I said, God, we're going to move into this building, and so I pray for that you do something awesome. There's more room for people. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Let there be an awakening. Let there be a revival. Let there be a move of God. And he said to me in my heart, he said, Philip, in order for there to be that kind of an awakening in our city, there needs to be an awakening in the Oasis Church. And in order for there to be a revival and an outpouring in Oasis Church, there needs to be an awakening in your leaders, in your staff, yeah, department heads, the people who are in our leadership. On every level, there has to be an awakening. So I said, yeah, God, get them. And he said, yeah, in order for there to be an awakening in our leaders, there has to be an awakening in you. And so I said, okay, God, I'm going to pray this, but I'm going to lead. And I remembered 2 Chronicles 7, and it said, if my people will humble themselves. As I said, oh, God, I'm so aware that without you, we would not be the church we are today. It's not based on any abilities or skills or gifting that I have. It's you. And there's no way I can lead us to the next level, next dimension. I can't be a part of the answer to this prayer. It's all you. I humble myself. I said, God, search my heart and see if there's any attitude, if there's any carelessness, if there's any idols in my life. And he said, my people will humble themselves and pray. And so I began to pray. Pray the 24/7 prayer where you just wherever you go. And pray the private time with Jesus prayer, where you spend time with God. And seek my face. And I realize that I've been so good at seeking his hand because God is so good and generous that he gives. I said, oh, God, could you give me this? And could you help me with that? And could you provide that? And he said, I'm looking for somebody who will seek my face, not my hand, but who I am, to say, I want a heart like your heart. I want eyes like your eyes. I want to be like you, God. I want all of you. I don't want to hold back. And then he said, and then turn from your wicked ways. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm a pastor. I don't have any wicked ways. He's like, he goes, oh, that's why you're praying so I can talk to you. Because you got idols. You got ambitions. You got fears. You got issues. You call them issues. I call them wickedness. And so I said, God, cleanse my heart. Because that scripture says, the people who pray like that, he said, I will hear from heaven. My eyes will be open to that place. My ears will be attentive to every prayer. I will heal your land. I will restore what God has brought to you. There's somebody in this room today that God has called you, made it clear to you for ministry in your life, and you've been through some things and you've been running from him. And today is your day. Don't live your life out of the hurts and the problems of yesterday. But get vision for what God has called you. Restore your dedication and devotion to God. And he will heal your heart and heal your land and restore the call to your life if you will yield to him. I got this picture of a vase or a vase because we minister to all kinds of people. And fill like decorative rocks and stones, you know, filled up. And then you pour water into it, the water representing the Holy Spirit. Fill it up to the top. Like, Lord, here I am, Lord. I'm full of your Spirit. He goes, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pour out the water in another vessel. And then I want you to take those rocks and stones and dump it out. And so then pour that water back in. And I realized it only filled up halfway. I thought I was full of the Holy Spirit, but I had too many issues and idols and dreams and goals and distractions and hurts and agendas. And so I'm saying, oh God, I'm full of your Holy Spirit. I'm claiming it. I believe it's true. But we want to experience the fullness of God, the presence of God. And we have to clean out those idols and those issues in our life so we can be filled with His Spirit. And I thought, you know, gathering together like today, it's like a team that's playing a game, and you come in at halftime and you have a little time in the locker room with the coach, and the coach is going, okay, we're playing good in this area, but we're a little behind and we're a week over here. So let's step up. Let's tighten it up. Let's be a little stronger on defense. Let's run these plays. Let's get out there and win the game. And so God did not send Jesus to die on the cross and raise from the dead so you could sit in church. We come together in church to worship Him, to be empowered, to be re-envisioned, to be in the locker room, to get a plan so we can go out into the city, to the community, to our work, to our school, and bring Jesus to people who need Him. But I think about the scripture that says, those who hunger and thirst will be filled. And I wonder how thirsty you are. You know, our worship experiences, for the most part, are an hour and 15, hour 20, sometimes 90 minutes. And people get antsy. People are uncomfortable in the presence of God. Yeah, it's like we come, most of us get here like 15, 20 minutes early or late. I mean, after worship is over. And then it gets to be about the hour spot, and we're like, hey, what's going on, man? I got to get out of here. I got a three-hour baseball game to watch. And or I got a two-hour movie to go see, or I got things to do. And then we're praying, God bless me, although I don't really like to spend time in your presence, but bless me anyway. And we can't be that kind of church. We have to be a church that loves His presence, that loves God, that wants to be filled, wants to get vision from heaven, that we hear that sound of heaven, the Holy Spirit filling our lives and bringing healing, bringing life, doing the miraculous. And I'm going to close here with this little story, this little illustration about in 1906, here in Los Angeles, there was a move of God called the Azusa Street Revival. Have you heard of it? Put your hand up if you have. And historians talk about it all the time because as a result of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Azusa Street, that over 600 million people have been filled with the Holy Spirit and are as a result of that happening in 1906, and it went for about 5 years, 6 years, spread around, and it wasn't about great preaching. It was something that was desperately needed in the church, but it was a desire and openness to the Holy Spirit. And they met in a little home. Bonnie Bray Street had some prayer meetings. The Holy Spirit fell. It was so powerful that people were filling the yard and the street. So then they had to move the meeting down to this Azusa Street place a little distance. And so early this year, I just, on the way to church, I thought, I'm going to go drive by that Bonnie Bray address. And so I drove by there. It never occurred to me to do it before, but I drove by the Bonnie Bray address and found out that West Angeles Church of God in Christ, Bishop Blake, had bought it because it was the only building left from that mighty move of God. And so they restored it, and it's open and available to the public with appointments. So I organized going there one evening with about 20 people from our church, and we just prayed and worshiped God in there, not because we're putting faith in the past, but kind of honoring what God did. And here's part of it, is that not only did William Seymour, the African-American pastor that led this whole thing, but others prophesied that about 100 years later from that, that God was going to do another special move of the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't going to just be L.A., but it's going to be in various cities around the world, and it's going to, you know, multiplied anointing that God did then. And so I'm just thinking, well, I don't want to miss it if now is the time. I'm here in L.A. I want to be available. I don't want to be blind and say, well, wasn't it great back there in Azusa Street? And, well, someday is it going to happen over there? I'm going to say, hey, God, use me. And I would rather go out of this life believing than never trusting God, never believing God for the supernatural. And so we felt the moving of the Holy Spirit. We felt the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we're saying, oh, God, use us. People would come from all over to this Azusa Street location. Around the world, the word spread. And some people came in, hardened unbelievers, and they would there would be like a glory, like a smoke-like substance that would just fill the place, and people would fall down worshiping God, just like, I've been touched by heaven. There were wild miracles and signs and great worship going on, and it was just an availability to God. And I'm not suggesting that we reproduce anything, but I want to be available to say, God, finish what you started. Finish with us, you know, use us. And so one of the signs that happened was a lot of teenagers, a lot of young people were used by God. There's a book. There's a couple of books about the testimonies and stories that some of the people who were 14, 15 years old then telling their stories, you know, in the last 20, 30 years and putting this book together of testimonies of just like the wild miracles of, you know, the, you know, blind eyes being healed or, you know, cancer being healed. But then the stories even get more dramatic where one guy had his fingers cut off in an accident at work. And they had been missing, you know, for years. And that Seymour prayed for him, and his fingers grew back. And this guy said, I was standing there watching this. And, you know, people just were weeping and celebrating and worshiping God. And I just thought, if God wants to do something beyond my understanding or my ability, I don't want my heart to be the limitation. I don't want my life to be the ceiling. I want to pray, oh, God, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, let glory be to Jesus in the church and throughout every generation. So I said, oh God, pour out your grace and your mercy. You know, we're in a time where there is great difficulty and darkness in the world. Can we have the praise and worship team come on up? That was kind of a weird transition. But it's time to worship God when things are dark. But it says in the scripture, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So where there's great need, where there's great problems, where relationships are breaking down, where people are dealing with cancer and breast cancer and problems, we see that even more grace abounds. Somebody said to me, Philip, what's it like pastoring in Hollywood? And he's like, I mean, do you have like real Christians there or is it like a shit? I'm like, I'll tell you what it's like. We have a church full of people who love Jesus, who serve them with all their heart. We renounce idols and dedicate ourselves to living for him. And we're all about giving back and not thinking about what we can get. And like, oh, that's like real church. I'm like, yeah. You guys have been praying for us all over the world where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask God to touch us, to move in this place. Father, we turn to you. We turn to you because we should have turned to you a long time ago. For the things that we've tried to do on our own, we apologize that we haven't trusted you. For ways that we've limited you or been hesitant to you or closed to you. Maybe our tradition, our religion, our denomination, our fears. Oh God, we want all that you have for us. Search our hearts and purify our life, Lord, and give us vision from heaven. We're waiting on you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to breathe on us, Lord, to release your power.
Thanks for listening. We invite you to visit oasisla.org to find more resources, teaching, and learn how you can partner with us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Make it a great day.